Can one little match start anything except a fire?
It might start a lot of things tonight on...
People Are Funny.
Yes, NBC presents John Goodell's production of People Are Funny, transcribed from Hollywood. And now here's America's top master of ceremonies, Art Linkletter.
We think that people are funny about memories. Now, you may know somebody like a brother, but the minute you have to introduce him and you're on the spot, the name flies out the window. Isn't that true? There are three things that I can't remember. I can never remember faces. I can never remember names. And, I can't remember the third thing. But let's meet a couple and test their memories and see how they do. Bring out the married couple and let's meet these folks from our studio audience. How do you do?
How do you do?
You're Mr. and Mrs.?
Houston.
Where are you from?
Bakersfield.
And what do you do, Mr. Houston?
I'm a minister.
Well, now you were picked out of the audience because you volunteered to have some fun. How long have you been married, Mrs. Houston?
Just about 10 years.
And you have...
Two little boys.
Now, does the Reverend, in between practicing sermons, consulting with his parishioners, and doing the various things concerned with the Bible, have a chance to do any chores around the house?
Not much.
Not much?
Uh-huh. No.
Does he ever go out and do any shopping?
Once in a great while.
Mm-hmm. How's his memory?
Well, not so good.
You always give him a written list?
Yes.
Now, when you do go out shopping, you say you have just a fair memory, huh?
Well, I think I have a pretty fair memory. Of course, I have to notice things before I start trying to memorize them, however.
Uh-huh. Mrs. Houston, when you shop, do you ever buy any delicacies like snails?
No, never.
You never buy anything like that? I just wondered. Now, here is the test for tonight. I have a list here, and I am going to give you a list of 2, 4, 6 different things by ear only. I'm not going to give you the list. Listen carefully, Reverend Houston, because you must go out and shop for all 6 of these things and bring them all back. Listen, an electric clock, a pen, lipstick, a necklace, match and earrings. You got that?
Match and earrings?
Yes. Now, there's the list. You go off to Hollywood and Vine. Irv Atkins will give you the money and see if you can get all of those things before the end of the show. There he goes. Say goodbye, audience.
There he goes.
Well, now, Mrs. Houston, now that he's gone, let's just get Chummy here. How do you think he's going to do?
I don't think he'll do it.
You don't?
No.
Gee, I hope he does, because you are going to be placed in a little jeopardy.
Uh-oh.
In other words, we're going to have you bet on your husband's memory. Come over here with me. In fact, have a seat right up here, will you, please?
Mm-hmm.
Just sit down. We prepared a little dining room table here. You have all the silver and the glassware and the napkins and everything necessary to have dinner. You all hungry?
No.
Well, it's just as well, because you're just going to have really a starter. You're not going to have the entree. Remember I asked you about snails?
I don't like them.
Have you ever eaten them?
No, but I don't think I'd like them.
How do you know until you tried them?
Well, I don't like crab or shrimp. They must taste something like that.
Oh, no, you see, crab and shrimp come out of the ocean. Snails come out of your garden.
Oh.
Well, I tell you, Mrs. Houston... We just happen to have a waiter, Mr. Hutchins, from Lyman's Restaurant here on Hollywood Boulevard, coming in now. And he's putting down a, what do you call those things?
Snails.
Snails. Would you open the lid? What do you call this whole thing?
It's a casserole.
Casserole. You see them? Aren't they delicious looking?
You eat them.
I happen to love them myself, and I've eaten lots of them. These look like they're just delicious. They're all nicely brown. They're in their shells, of course. See? Smell them.
How do you get them out?
How do you get them out? You pry them out with a little thing, and if they fight, dig them back. Now, would you put that back on, Mr. Hutchins? We're going to keep that nice and hot. Because if your husband comes back without all 6 of the right items, you have to eat the snails.
He better remember.
Thank you. Do you think we're going to make her eat the snails? You watch and see at the end of the program. Which would you rather have? $500 in cash or the contents of this box, all boarded up and about 4 feet high and 3 feet in each direction? Now, all week long, a lady has been fussing about whether or not to take the $500 of this box, and we're going to find out now what happens. Would you come in, please? How do you do? Would you tell us your name again?
Margaret Neal, aren't
you? Mrs. Neal.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. And last week, Mrs. Neal, you were sitting in our audience.
I sure was.
And I picked you at random out of the audience and gave you a chance to win how much money?
Well, the sum of $10,000.
$10,000 cash. You see here, she had a five-letter word to make. And it depended upon the word she made as to where that one was behind which letter. And you remember the name of the word?
The one I spelled or the one I should have spelled?
The word you spelled was?
Slate, S-L-A-T-E.
And the word that would have put the one in the $10,000 spot was least, L-E-A-S-T, because the one was behind the L. You could have spelled stale, steel, slate, or least. So you had a chance to have $1,000, not $10,000.
That's right.
But we didn't reveal all the letters at once, did we?
Not hardly.
So when you found out you didn't have the $10,000, you saw the zero at the front, what did I give you a chance to do?
Well, you gave me a chance of taking the $500.
$500 cash? Or whatever was there behind the letters. She might have had $100 or $10 or $1 or $1,000. Now, after I gave you the $500 in cash, what did I offer you next to be sure that you had plenty of chances to make up your mind?
Well, you gave me the choice of taking the $500 or a beautiful box that was supposed to sit on my lawn for a whole week.
And the box is about 5 feet high and it couldn't get through your front door?
No, I'm afraid it couldn't.
So it sat out in front of your house for a week and you could be tantalized by this choice. What did the neighbors say?
They thought I'd gone off my rocker.
Well, did they came over and asked you what it was about?
Yes.
And did they, when you told them, what were their recommendations?
Well, they wrote all over it. There are different decisions. Take the money. Take the box. First one thing and another. And I was confused before, but now I'm thoroughly confused.
What does your husband say?
Well, if I don't take the box, I'm afraid that you'll have to pay my hotel bill somewhere. He said I can't come home.
In other words, he wants you to take what's in the box.
He sure does.
But your own mental intuition tells you whether to take the $500 or the box.
Well, I didn't gamble last week, and my better judgment tells me that I ought to take the money.
You should take the $500.
That's what my better judgment says.
But what does your better half say?
He says take the box.
Now, he knows you've already come down from $10,000 to $500, and he still wants you to take a chance.
Yes, sir.
All right. Now, if we open this box, you know that you must take what's inside the box rather than the $500.
Uh-huh.
All right? You going to do that?
Well, I'll tell you, this has been the most hectic week of my life, all right? I've never been more nervous since I got married. I hope I never have to go through it again. I hardly ever make decisions all on my own. I usually say, well, honey, come here and help me make up my mind.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And he told me pretty thoroughly how he stood on the matter. And I said, well, I got to have some help from somewhere. So I even prayed about it.
And so, your final decision?
I'm going to take the box. Don't tempt me.
You want to kiss McKinley goodbye? All right, we'll stand right back here. Paul, would you come in? A member of the crew here is going to take out the last nail. We've gotten them all but the last couple. We'll see what's in the box. And it's a refrigerator. Now, wait a minute, that's pretty good, but you know what a refrigerator is worth?
Well, I needed one pretty badly here lately, and I've been out pricing them.
They're worth about $300.
That's right. I goofed, didn't I?
It's very pretty, but you goofed. You got a prize now down to $300. Now, tell me this. I really feel sorry for you, because you have made, as it so happens, exactly the wrong decision. So
I knew it.
So I'll tell you what I'll do. If you want me to, I'll buy the refrigerator back from you for $500.
You want that refrigerator pretty bad. I'll keep it.
I don't understand this. Look, I'm offering to replace the bum decision you just made with an extra $200. And yet you turn it down.
I can't figure out why you did it, though.
Because I like you. You don't think that I stand up here trying to torment you.
I don't know what you've done. I've listened to People Are Funny for 15 years.
Well, I feel sorry. I mean, I do feel. I'm very happy. Now, You will not take the 500.
I don't even want it.
You want the refrigerator.
I'll take it.
I don't understand this. You know this is worth $200 more, don't you?
Mm-hmm.
Do you think there's something inside the refrigerator?
I have no idea. It may be full of rotten oranges, but I'll gamble.
In other words, you're through with using good judgment, and you're just a gambling gal.
No, I want to go home tonight.
We may wind up sending you home in the box, you know. You are going to take the refrigerator.
I have a happy home and I want to keep it.
All right, I'll just go over and we'll open up the door. Nothing I can do about it. And we'll see what's in there. Well, I'll be darned, an $1,100 mink stole. That's about an $1,100 stole, and with the $300 in the refrigerator, you have just made a very good bargain for yourself. About $1,400 worth of merchandise versus my $500. You can go home. Your husband is awaiting for you. There's a lamp in the window. Your neighbors love you, and we think you've been a good sport through the whole terrible mess. And we will play the game again with the words and the letters for $10,000 cash in the next show. Goodbye and good luck. Well, I'm coming out in the studio audience now and have a little fun. And maybe I can give away a fine prize. And I, just a moment or two ago, before coming on the air, asked for a show of hands of people who have unusual hobbies. We have a lady here who plows wheat fields, and a girl here who makes earrings out of rickrack. And here's a girl. What do you do?
I used to be a hot rod enthusiast.
Oh, my. I think I'll stop and talk to you. You're very pretty, too. You're Miss or Mrs.?
Miss.
And how long ago were you a hot rod enthusiast?
Oh, when I was a senior in high school and a freshman in college.
Now, you know about hot rods.
Yes.
Because tonight's stunt is concentration. Can a woman concentrate, keep her mind on the subject of what she's thinking about, and at the same time not be in any way distracted by some particular distraction? And I have several. To begin with, if you successfully compete with me, I want to show you what I'm going to give you. Isn't that lovely? That's a beautiful match string of cultured pearls imported from Japan.
Oh, they're beautiful.
And they are worth between 400 and 500 smackers. Would you like to have those?
Yes.
Would you mind standing up for a moment?
Certainly.
I'm tired of kneeling down. Would you move forward? Do you mind if I move in? And then I'll sit down. Hi, that's comfortable. Would you mind moving back, please? Now you can sit right here. There we go. I like this stunt. Now, your name again is?
Harriet Snuckle.
Harriet Snuckle. Well, you snuggle up, Snuckle, if we'll go. Now, Miss Snuckle, here is the way we'll play this game just for the fun of it. From now on, you must only answer me about hot rods, no matter what I say to you. And if you just keep talking about hot rods and answer to every question, then you'll get the beautiful Duchess pearls.
Okay.
But since I'm giving you a chance for such a nice prize, how about a little bet the other way? For instance, you are so attractive, it just occurred to me that if you answer me any way but hot rods, I get a kiss.
Huh? Okay. I'll concentrate.
You won't miss it. You have thousands of them. All right, the game starts right now. Your name again, please?
Harriet Snuckle.
Now, Miss Snuckle, do you believe in such things as love at first sight?
I used to attend the drags at Santa Ana and Pomona.
Uh-huh. When you look into a boy's eyes, what do you think?
Well, I chopped my top and lowered my rear end.
Well, I didn't know that was in your eyes, but... If you and I were out for dinner, for instance, would you care to... Would you rather dance or would you rather eat?
Well, I milled the heads to boost the compression ratio.
What's your favorite music for romance?
And I installed a dual exhaust system.
Yes. Now, do you think that something electric passes between a boy and a girl when they're matched to each other?
I stroke the camshaft.
And how many miles do you get to the gallon?
Well, I was clocked at 106.
Say, she is doing real well. You concentrate, and you're such an attractive and very young girl, about 26?
No, 23.
Miss Snookle? You're about to be chopped and lowered. You lost, didn't you?
Yeah.
The liver.
Say, this is a real hot rod enthusiast. And that was such a nice, pleasant, friendly kiss that I think I'm going to give you these beautiful Duchess pearls.
Aww.
Anyway. And now when you get a boyfriend, he won't at least have to buy you a pearl necklace.
I have a boyfriend.
You do?
Mm-hmm.
How much of a boyfriend?
Well, he's sitting right next to me.
Oh, how do you do? How are you? Are you her real boyfriend?
That's right, I.
How much?
Oh, we're engaged, I.
Oh, well, in that case, I'll just get right up. Have a chair. It's nice to have met you. Goodbye. That's all there is to it. These two people have been flipping and calling heads or tails with that silver dollar for 10,000 times during the last week.
Heads, you're right.
Well, I guess you can stop now, but I wager you're both a little weary of this, aren't you?
Just a little bit.
Your name is Mrs.?
Ruth Ehrlich.
And you were picked out of our People Are Funny audience last week because you said what?
That I was a very lucky gambler.
That's right, that you have been places and done very well.
Well, I have this last week.
As a matter of fact, I've learned something about you during the last week that proves you're an even luckier gambler than you told us last week. Because isn't it true that a few short months ago, you went under a heart operation in which whether you came out alive would be a flip-up?
That's right.
I
didn't know you knew that.
I found out about that. And so you are a lucky gambler.
About the luckiest thing that could have possibly happened to me.
Now, after we found this lady and she said that she was so lucky, we had this gentleman here as a special guest of honor, and your name is?
Art Costell.
And your professional business?
Roulette dealer.
Where?
The Hotel Sahara in Las Vegas, Nevada.
A professional gambler and a lucky lady. And Art Costell told us that if he flipped the coin and she called it, he'd win, right?
That's right.
So what happened next, Mrs. Ehrlich? Where did we send you?
Well, you sent us down to Bonds, and we had to start tossing the coins in the window of Bonds.
Right near Hollywood and Vine.
That's right.
4 hours a day.
Yes, and we gathered quite a crowd. And,
You called everyone the way you felt.
Yes, they tried to get me to take all heads or all tails, and I said, well, no, I didn't want to do that. That if I didn't feel that they were all going to turn up one all heads or all tails.
So what method did you use? Did you use female intuition, extra perception, or did you just concentrate?
I guess I concentrated at times, and other times I just went kind of blank.
And called heads or tails?
Didn't know what I was calling.
How many days did you do this for, Art?
8 days.
8 days. All week long you were down there. It was quite a job.
Yes, sir.
How's your thumb? Let's look at it. By golly, that's flipped a coin 10,000 times. Now, Art, would you say that this gal was lucky?
Yes, I would. I'd say she's extremely lucky.
Were you ahead of her?
At one time in the first hour, I had 400 wrongs and she had 399. I was ahead by one point and never anymore.
You were ahead through the whole 10,000 flips.
Right.
What was the most you were ahead?
I think 135, wasn't it?
Right.
135.
135.
How many consecutive wins did she have calling it back and forth from head to tails?
Out of 23 flips, she was wrong only once. And that's switching back from heads to tails, tails to heads. Anything she called, she was right.
And if she had done that up at the dice tables in Las Vegas,
she'd have had the hotel.
Well, you told us you were lucky, and you have certainly proved it. And the way it went, of course, you were you won all the way through.
Yes, I was ahead all the time.
There was one time, ladies and gentlemen, it was very amusing. I came up to take some publicity shots in the window with the two of them. And while the photographers were watching, they went right ahead with calling the flips. You lost how many times in a row?
They tell me 17 times.
17 times. Her mind was not on her work. Right, Art?
That's right.
The minute you got a camera up there, she started powdering her nose instead of thinking of heads or tails. And did some people come back and stand outside the window every day to check up on you?
Yes, we had people that we'd begun to recognize. And they would try to tell us how to bet. They'd motion to their heads, you know, and say call heads. And invariably, I'd say the opposite, because I didn't believe them.
Now, she was ahead 100 when you got to the score of 7,500 flips, but you were still confident.
Yes, sir, I still had a chance.
You thought that the house, which you represented, would always beat the gambler.
That's right.
Because of the psychological edge you had.
Yes, sir.
All right, now, here is one of the most interesting things if you ever follow the laws of probability and chance. Listen to this. At 9,945 flips, she was right 5,001 times and wrong 4,944 times. At that very instant, according to this special machine right here, the same score was registered for heads and tails. 5,001 heads, 4,944 tails. Although she had called back and forth, if she had stuck to one or the other, she'd have been right the same number of times as if she had changed as you did.
Isn't that amazing?
And at the end of the score, ladies and gentlemen, with 10,000 flips of the coin, she was right 5,032 times and wrong 4,968 times. She wins by 64.
That's right.
And you are going to go back to Las Vegas to the Sahara Hotel and put her picture up.
That's right.
For the bosses to know.
And they're going to be ashamed of me.
Well, you gave her a good, honest shake for the deal.
Yes, sir.
And Mrs. Ehrlich, you do prove yourself to be the luckiest lady, probably, since Lady Godiva, who, as you well know, put everything she had on a horse and won. And you win a wonderful prize. Your prize is a $500 freezer filled with groceries that'll last you for a long, long time.
Oh, I'm thrilled.
And Art Costell, back to the Sahara Hotel up in Las Vegas for your regular job at the roulette table. And you'll take to your home a beautiful television set. And by the way, we'd like to introduce a new game to Las Vegas. In case the going is a little slow at the roulette tables at the Las Vegas Hotel Sahara, here's a people are funny game. Get them started.
Thank you very much.
Goodbye. Goodbye. A little earlier in the show, we sent a husband out to do some shopping. We gave him a list of items that he would have to remember and come back, and memory perfect, he would win a nice prize. But if he missed on the shopping of the list that we gave him, his wife, Mrs. Houston, the wife of the Reverend Houston, Baptist minister from Bakersfield, California, would have the opportunity of sampling for the first time in her life some nice, fresh, hot-cooked snails. And I know you're looking forward to that with a great deal of relish.
Not in the least.
Do you think the Reverend passed the average husband's test and came back with or without all of the items?
I'm afraid he wouldn't.
Let's see how well he did. Let's bring him back out here. Reverend Houston, come out here and let's see how you did. Now, an average man being given a list of items to purchase, sent out to buy them, naturally is bound to become a little confused. And let's see what you did. What's this big item here?
Electric clock.
Pat McGeehan, come out and check this list. An electric clock. You have the list. Next.
Lipstick.
Lipstick. That's right.
Pen.
Uh-huh.
Necklace.
Necklace.
Two earrings to match.
Two earrings right there. Well, he did it, I guess. By golly, Reverend Houston, your wife didn't think you'd make it. I want to tell you that there is a wife who does not have enough confidence in you. Ever since you've been gone, she's been moaning about the fact that you would muff it. Now, isn't that a terrible thing?
Certainly is.
And I'll bet not only that, but if you had made a mistake, you wouldn't have sat there and watched her eat those snails. You would have volunteered to take her away from there, wouldn't you? Are you the kind of a man who wouldn't let your wife be in jeopardy?
Well, I wouldn't want her to do anything she wouldn't want to do.
Well, somebody would have had to eat them, and if you'd have made a mistake, you could have volunteered, right?
I guess that's right.
That's right. But luckily for you, you came back with all six, and we have a wonderful prize for you. As a matter of fact, we are going... what's the matter, Pat?
He did not bring back everything.
Well, Pat, you said that it was all set.
We just rechecked.
Well, what did he mess on? It seemed to me that he got everything.
The match.
The match. Did you bring back a match? Now, wait a minute. I said distinctly, a necklace and match and earrings. But you didn't get them. Come over with me. Start eating.
There's
27. You only have to eat one. Now, just...
Can I have some water?
No, no water. Now, wait a minute. Just hold it right up there. I just reach right down in there.
Looks like garbage.
Wait. Before you put that in your mouth, something just occurred to me. Didn't you say, Reverend, that if you had made a mistake, you would be glad to take your wife's place?
I guess I did.
Mrs. Houston, step down. Reverend Houston, step up there. Is there anything in the Bible about eating snails?
No, but do I have to stop with one? I love these things.
You love them? That. He likes them. Well, you and I'll divide them. I'm not going to let you eat them all. You hold it here. Mrs. Houston, both of you, you ever get a little vacation from your ministerial duties?
Oh, yes. I haven't had mine yet this year, though.
Well, we'd like to have you both be our guests. And we're going to fly you up on a big DC-7 mainliner up to Canada, to British Columbia, and you're going to be our guest at Harrison Hot Springs, a beautiful, beautiful resort up in British Columbia with all of our expenses paid, all of your expenses paid for a vacation up there. How's that?
Oh, that's wonderful.
Wonderful.
That's it.
Can I eat the snails?
Go right ahead. Finish the snails. Thank you very much. Well, that's it for tonight. But next week on People Are Funny, a lonely old lady has a birthday party. And where do you think the guests are going to come from? You'll have to tune in and find out. In the meantime, good night, everybody.
This program was transcribed from Hollywood.